Om Agyan Timidan. By inconceivable mercy, we have come into this assembly from all parts of the world to earnestly seek shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu in his eternal home, the place he appeared within this world, Ekachakra. Under the shade of this holy Bakul tree, where Lord Nityananda Prabhu is eternally playing with his friends. We have come to Ekachakra. While sitting here in these beautiful fields, forests, our minds are brought back in time before there was the great burden of modern technology and development. A life of simple living, high thinking, where we naturally depend on the Supreme Lord to bring rains and to make the seeds that he has created sprout into food. Otherwise, we starve. How often do people remember God when they go into a market to buy vegetables and grains? You just think about bargaining and getting the best possible deal in India. And in the West, you're just thinking about which of the dozens and dozens of varieties of each item are you going to purchase? So much the mental platform. Sometimes people are in a grocery store for hours trying to figure out which type of salt to buy. But simple living, high thinking, you put the grains in the ground and you know that it's only by the will of higher powers that the rains will come and the grains will grow. And it's a miracle. Really, life is miracle after miracle. Whatever we eat is a miracle. How do fruits grow from trees which come from a little seed? Grains and rice. There's no computer programmer making the rice grow. It's just coming and producing more rice. Incredible. And the cow is providing nice milk, the miracle food for humanity. And cooking with the dung of the cows gives such a fragrant, nice, ecologically friendly experience, rather than plundering the earth with gas and coal, creating future calamities. So here in Ekachakra, we go back in time to life of simple living, high thinking, which is very, very conducive to always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. But most of all, the great beauty of Eka Chakra is in the people's natural spontaneous devotion to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And in remembering the words of our beloved acharyas in their descriptions of the life and mercy of Lord Nityananda. I would like to speak briefly on the subject. Just as we, with great eagerness, came on this pilgrimage to Eka Chakra, Janava Devi also came on a pilgrimage to Eka Chakra. We know that after Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu left this world, all the devotees, spontaneously, out of love and respect, honored Janava Devi as the senior most Vaishnav in our Sampradaya. Why? She was the Shakti of Nityananda Prabhu. She was none different than Nityananda Prabhu. She possessed the power of Nityananda Prabhu's love. Therefore, even Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they all accepted her to be the senior most amongst all of them. And what a wonderful preacher she was. She was a fearless, bold preacher, but at the same time, never betrayed the very simple, chaste dignity of a woman. She didn't try to be a man to be an acharya. She loved to cook. She was simply the mother of all the devotees. She had such motherly affection for everyone. When that first Gaur Purnima festival took place in Kachari, she was the leading acharya. And she, with her own hands, she cooked for the devotees. She served the devotees like a mother. But yet she was recognized and honored for her devotion. After that Kethari festival, Janava Devi went to Vrindavan. There she received the order of Gopinath that he wanted her to make a deity of Radharani for him. Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they all worshipped her lotus feet in Vrindavan. Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Madhu Pandit. On the way, she delivered so many pious people. She delivered dacoits, atheists, gave them all Krishna praying. She returned to Kethari, Mudari, Gardaha, but on the way, with great eagerness, she brought her group of devotees for a yatra to Eka Chakra. Would you like to hear about that yatra? As they were walking in the outskirts of the town, just approaching Eka Chakra, they saw an old Brahmin who was walking very slowly with the help of a stick. The devotees spontaneously bow down to the Brahman, although they really didn't know who he was. And they asked him. He told them who he was. He was an inhabitant of Eka Chakra. They asked that we have heard and we have read that Eka Chakra is an opulent, flourishing town. But now we see that Eka Chakra is in ruins. It seems like it's deserted. Can you explain why? He said, yes. I will tell you something of the history of Eka Chakra Gram. No one can trace when Eka Chakra was first established. But we do know from Mahabharata that the Pandavas lived here. Kunti Devi with her five sons, Arjun, Bhima, Yudhisthira, Nakula, Sahadev. All of you, please turn around. Do you see in the middle of that field those large trees with a structure in the middle? That was where the five Pandavas and Mother Kunti resided in Eka Chakra. Very holy place. There's many beautiful stories in Mahabharata about their pastimes here. They were living here incognito, secretly. And there is the story of that Bakasura. Yes, very powerful. Rakshasa. This is an Eka Chakra Leela. And he used to just come down to the town of Eka Chakra and just eat people alive. So the people made some mediation with him. Rather than everyone living in fear at all times, let's make some compromise. Once every 2 weeks or fortnight, we will send you a huge wagon full of bhoga. Gigantic mountain of bhoga. And one of our village young boys will ride it up, and you can eat the horses, all the bhoga, and the driver. Hare Krishna. So one day, this lady, who was actually giving great hospitality to the Pandavas, she was crying. Kunti asked, why? Said, because I only have one son, and we have a rotation system, and now it's our family's turn to send someone to drive the wagon to Bakasura. So now I will be without a son. Kunti said, well, I have five sons. Let me send one of mine. Said, no, I can't do that. You are my guest. I cannot do that. This is my dharma. This is my karma. I must do. Kunti said, no, don't worry. My sons, they're not like ordinary sons. So there was this big, big wagon of bhoga. And who do you think Kunti Devi selected for the purpose of this particular seva? Bhima Sena. And he was very excited. Because he never got enough food. So when they were, because they were living like Brahmins, all five of them would go out and beg and bring all their food back and give it to Kunti. And Kunti would divide it into two parts. One part was for Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, and herself, and the other part was for Bhima. And he was never, his belly, his brikodar, he had very empowered digestion. He was never satisfied. So for him, a whole wagon full of bhoga. this was unbelievable opportunity. So he got on the wagon and offered it all to Krishna. It became prasad. And as he was driving to Bakasura's abode, he was just reaching back and eating. One hand on the reins, left hand and right hand, eating. By the time he came to Bakasura's place, there was nothing left. Bakasura looks and he sees him just eating his last morsels. And he was really, really angry. This was such an insult. And to insult a Rakshasa is very serious. So Bakasura was just roaring in anger and he attacked Bhima. But Bhima was still finishing his prasad. So with one hand he was fighting and the other hand he finished. Then he pushed Bakasura aside, washed his hands, and then began to fight. And the fight went on for quite some time. Bakasura was roaring. He was huge. He was gigantic. He was a monster. But Bhima, he pulverized his body. He just crushed him and squeezed him. So it was just an indistinguishable lump of flesh. So when the villager saw that, they thought that that little boy who was the lady's mother did that to Bakasura. So he became very famous. But Pandava Kunti said, don't tell anyone that we have done like this. So these are just some of the pastimes that Pandavas performed here in Ekachakra. The old Brahmin described to Janava Devi and her devotees that a very, very great astrologer in Ekachakra, he researched the horoscope of this town and he came to an incredible finding. He proclaimed to everyone that according to my astrological calculations, with all authority, I declare that the Supreme God is going to take birth in Ekachakra as Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram will descend into this world and take birth here in Ekachakra Gram. This was amazing news. All the other learned astrologers came together and through their research, they unanimously confirmed that what he is saying is true. The astrologer lamented. He said, I am so unfortunate that I will not live to see Lord Balaram appear in my town of Ekachakra. That is my misfortune. Much later, in this town, which was really a very opulent, flourishing place, Ekachakra was a place of much wealth, where all the four castes lived according to very high religious principles. There was very sweet harmony amongst everyone. Great scholars were living here, of all the various fields of knowledge and Vedas. Very pious place, where everyone was happy. There was one very famous man. His name was Oja. He was very learned in the scriptures. He got married and was very eager to have children. Many children were born to him and his wife, but each and every one of them died right after birth. So this brought them great sorrow. Very great sorrow. Ultimately, on a very auspicious occasion, a son
was born. They named that son Haro. Haro Ojas.
Haro was a very, very great devotee of Lord Vishnu. He worshipped this Maureshwar Shiva, Mahadev, deity. He worshipped him as the greatest devotee of Lord Shiva. The old Brahmin said, in those days, Ekachakra was such a religious place. So many deities of so many temples. But he said, long ago, this river Jamuna actually was very wide, and it flooded over, and many of the deities entered into the river. Now this Haro, he became so learned, and he was such a charitable, gentle, and pure-hearted devotee of Vishnu. He was always deeply concerned with the welfare of other living beings. His father arranged for him to marry a girl of very sweet disposition. Her name was Padmabati. Haro became a very learned scholar, and therefore he was awarded by the other scholars the name Hadai Pandit. Just after marriage, Hadai Pandit's parents died. So he used a large portion of whatever he had to make very, very suitable funeral arrangements. And he performed the last rites of his parents. It brought great sorrow to his heart. Hadai Pandit and Padmavati became the leaders of Ekachakra. He had a school just close by where he would teach. And he was such a respectable person. Everyone just naturally honored him as their leader. On the 13th day of the waxing moon of the month of Magh, they gave birth to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. For years they worshipped Maureshwar Mahadev for a good son, and all of their dreams and prayers were fulfilled. Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared in Ekachakra Gram. After some time, we will go to the Garbhavas, which is the exact place where Lord Nityananda appeared within this world. He was so beautiful. As soon as anyone saw this infant child, their natural love just awakened for him. In fact, they honored this child with such deep affection that they took his umbilical cord and they buried it right where this tree is. This platform is the samadhi of Nityananda Prabhu's umbilical cord. Let us offer our most respectful obeisances. When it came for the name-giving ceremony, some of the people of Ekachakra suggested the name Rama, and others suggested the name Nityananda. So he was given both names, Nityananda Rama. When he learned how to crawl, he was so charming to the heart, that people spontaneously called him by the name Nitai. His body was a beautiful, resplendent golden color,
and his limbs were as soft as fresh butter. In fact, all the people of Eka Chakra, they just wanted to embrace this little baby. He was compared to a puppet made out of butter. He was so soft. He was so pleasing. Padmavati would put a particular oil on his body that is used to make the skin very resplendent. It's made to make the skin shine. But his complexion made the oil look dull. So much for that tradition. She would take fragrances to make her child's body fragrant. But his natural body was millions of times more fragrant than the fragrance. She would take the softest possible cloth to wipe the dust from Nityananda Prabhu's body. But his body was softer than anything could possibly be. Yes, very soon Nityananda Prabhu became the life and the soul, not only of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, but of the whole town of Eka Chakra. Everyone would regularly come to Padmavati and Hadai Pandit's home just so that they could see Nityananda Prabhu. Padmavati would get special oils to cool the head. But his head was cooler than the oils. In fact, the Brahmin went on to explain to Janavadevi that one time he was in very, very serious distress. He was depressed about certain conditions in his life. So spontaneously and naturally, he said, I ran to the house of Hadai Pandit to see Nitai, who was just a little baby. And I took that little baby and put him in my lap. And immediately upon touching that soft, buttery form, all of my distress evaporated. And I was feeling bliss. That was the power of Nityananda Prabhu on everybody of Eka Chakra. Hadai Pandit and Padmavati were so attached to him that Padmavati, she just wouldn't let him go. She kept him in her arms and on her lap. And if even for minutes he wasn't, she would just be desperately trying to bring him back. She could not put him down. And Hadai Pandit, if he wasn't seeing Nityananda Prabhu, he would practically go blind. They were so deeply attached. And as he grew up and learned how to walk, he was constantly with his mother and father. Then little Nitai one day said to his mother that I want to play. And she said, well, play. I'm here. Your father's here. He said, but I want to play with friends. Now, this was a serious matter. So then he began to play with his little friends. But what were his play? And actually, Padmavati and Hadai Pandit practically constantly were just watching the plays. As was everyone in Eka Chakra. Nityananda Prabhu, his only play was enacting the pastimes of the Lord. Nothing else. No cricket or basketball. Total absorption in Leela. And he would orchestrate as his friend with his friends such deep meditation on these pastimes. They would create a group of boys who played demigods.
And they all approached with Bhumi in their front, Lord Brahma with prayers. And then Lord Brahma announced that I have heard from Krishna. We have just prayed to him in the ocean of milk that he will appear and we should all take birth in the Aru dynasty. That was one of their games. And then part two, in the middle of the night, when everyone in Ekachaka was sleeping, they actually created with their hands a replica of Mathura. And they made a prison cell, which was very dark. And right at midnight, they performed the Leela of the appearance of Lord Krishna. And one of the little boys would carry Krishna across the Jamuna. And across the Jamuna, they had erected a Gokul. And he brought to Gokul. And then the next morning, they had a whole wonderful pastime of Nandotsava, where the boys were dancing and singing and giving charity. Nityananda Prabhu dressed up one boy as Putana. And then he had another little boy play Krishna and suck out his life. And all the boys were, Jai Shri Krishna. He dressed up another little boy as Trinavarta and had him take Krishna on his shoulders and fall to the ground. They enacted the Leela of Krishna and Balaram entering into the forest with the calves, the killing of Denukasura. Actually, right here where we were sitting was one of the favorite places where Lord Nityananda Prabhu and his boys would enact these pastimes. In fact, this tree, they would make this tree look like Kaliya. They would take branches from this tree and make it look like the hoods of Kaliya and bring it to Padmavati Kund, which is just over there. Padmavati Kund is the place that the grandfather of Nityananda Prabhu made that kund as a special private bathing place for Padmavati. And she would daily bring little Nitai there and bathe him. So there in Padmavati Kund, they would have the leaves of this tree that they would design it like hoods and they would dance on it and perform the Kaliya Leela. This tree used to be in two very distinct sections. It was two trees at one time, and the boys would love to jump from one tree to the next. But Nityananda Prabhu, in the service of his friends, with his own hands, pushed the tree two trees together and made one. Therefore, this is actually one of the most important holy places in Ekachakra, this very sacred Bakula tree, where Lord Nityananda Prabhu and his friends reenacted many, many of the pastimes of the Lord. One time, when the elder people of Ekachakra were watching Nityananda perform these leelas, they couldn't believe it, that the lines that the children said were exactly from the holy scriptures. And he was only a small boy. Nobody ever taught him the scriptures. Nobody gave him the scriptures. They said, how do you know all these things? And Nitai smiled and said, these are my pastimes. These are my pastimes. But due to the power of Yogamaya, nobody could understand the real truth that he was speaking. They performed Leela of killing of Denukasura, Pralambasura. One tree they made into Bamsivat, and they reenacted the Rasleela. When Nityananda Prabhu was participating in this Rasleela of Krishna, reenacting that,
he and all of his friends were in absolute ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy, beyond anyone's comprehension. They played these games practically all day and all night.
Yes?
Now, one may think, the old Brahmin explained to Janava, that people would be angry if this Jinanda Prabhu keeping their little small children out all day and night. But no, they would embrace him with tears and thank him for giving association to their children. Everyone loved him, and his children could not give up his association. His parents could not give up his association. No one in Ekachakra could give up his association. He and his friends performed the Leela of Akrura, taking Krishna out of Vrindavan to Mathura. To everyone's great astonishment, Sri Nityananda, Nitai, who took the part of a gopi, was incessantly weeping, weeping, torrents of tears for hours and hours and hours. No one could console him. He wasn't just performing a drama. He was living the Leelas. And all of, when his friends saw him crying like that, all his friends started crying torrents and torrents of tears from their heart. As one little boy dressed up as a Krura took another little boy out of Vrindavan to Mathura. Then they performed the Mathura Leelas. They also performed the Leela of Vamana Dev. One boy was Bali Maharaj, and another was Vamana and cheated him of everything. They performed the Leela of Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar, Parasuram, Narasingha Avatar, Prahlad, and Hiranyakashipu. But the old Brahmin specially took note of their reenactment of Ram Leela. Nityananda Prabhu would play the part of Lakshman. How he picked up the Gandhamadana mountain. I'm sorry, that was Hanuman. This is the Leela he explained. That they were going to perform the Leela where Nityananda was Lakshman and he was fighting against Ravana. He told one of his friends that the Shakti-shila weapon of Ravana is taking the form of this lotus flower. You should throw this lotus flower in my chest at the time when the fighting is at its culmination. So Nityananda Prabhu and his other friend were battling, and his friend in the form of Ravana threw a lotus flower on his chest. Nityananda Prabhu fell down. There was no consciousness, no breath, no heartbeat, no life. The friends were bewildered. They just fell to the ground weeping and crying. Soon the news spread. Hadai Pandit and Padmavati came running. They saw Nitai was lifeless. What to do? They were all crying. Then all the whole town of Ekachaka was gathered around crying. And one person said, I have seen how Nitai performs these Leelas. I think whoever's supposed to be Hanuman should get that herb from the Gandhamadana mountain. And then one of the boys said, yes, yes, that's me, I forgot. Nitai told me that I should go to the Gandhamadana mountain and get the herb and bring it back. He said, if I fall down and I'm dead, make sure you do that. So that little boy
in dressed up as Hanuman, he ran just toward Padmavati Kund. And there one sage said, "Please, please, Hanumanji, come, be a guest of honor in my ashram and take some prasad." And he said, "No, no, Lakshman has been hit by Ravana's Shakti Shila. I must get this herb. I must get it now, now. I cannot stop." He said, "No, no, please stop." He said, "I cannot." He said, "No, you must. Take your bath. Have some prasad." So the boy went to take his bath. Hanuman. Then a crocodile attacked him. A little boy who was dressed up as a crocodile. And Hanuman dragged him out, and there was a big fight, and Hanuman defeated the crocodile. Then he went to the mountain and picked up the prop that Nityananda created to represent the Gandhamadana mountain. He came running back. And one little boy who was Sureshana, the doctor, he took something from the mountain and put it to Nityananda Prabhu's nose, and Nityananda Prabhu immediately, his eyes opened and he smiled. When Hadai Pandit and Padmavati saw this, they smiled and laughed. These were the pastimes of Nitai and Ekachakra. In this way, Nitai conquered the hearts of everyone. This old Brahmin said, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati could not give up their son for a moment. They were so attached. He would bring him into the paddy. Hadai Pandit would bring Nitai into the paddy fields. He would bring him to the marketplace. Couldn't give up the association. It was at that time when Nityananda Prabhu was 12 years old that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip. Knowing that the Lord appeared, little Nityananda Prabhu roared in ecstasy. When he roared, the entire universe shook. Practically everyone in the creation became unconscious for a moment. Nobody knew how to interpret what this is. It was like a thunderbolt multiplied by millions of times. But it was sweet and beautiful. Nityananda Prabhu understood his mission was to assist Lord Gauranga in Harinam Kirtan. How could he leave his parents? He couldn't just walk out on them. They lived only for him. So he made a divine plan. One day, a Brahmin, sannyasi, came to Ekachakra. This sannyasi was very beautiful, very effulgent, very pure heart. He came to the house of Hadai Pandit. Hadai Pandit offered him any alms he desired. After taking some prasad, all night long, this Brahmin discussed Harikatha with Hadai Pandit, Padmavati, and the family. The next morning, sun was rising. The Brahmin informed Hadai Pandit that I am about to travel to all the various holy places throughout the land, but I am alone. I require an assistant. It is my wish that you give me your son, your eldest son, Nityananda, to travel with me. That was a thunderbolt that crashed upon
the very soft, loving heart of Hatai Pandit.
It was unbearable. The thought of losing Nityananda Prabhu for even a moment was intolerable.
Hatai Pandit was struggling in his mind what to do.
It will be breaking all religious principles to not give in charity to the sannyasi. But at the same time, it would mean death if I give Nityananda Prabhu to him.
He's not asking for my son. He's asking for my life.
He's only 12 years old.
But then he began to ponder that Dasarat, when he was requested by Vishwamitra Muni to give him Ram to assist, although Ram was more dear to him than his own life, to observe the proper etiquette of religious principles, he gave Ram to the great sage.
Hatai Pandit went to Padmavati and told her the whole story and said, "What is your opinion?" With a very broken heart, Padmavati replied, "Whatever you decide is my wish also."
Hatai Pandit took the hand of Nitai, his life, and placed it in the hand of the sannyasi. "He is yours." As they were departing, Nityananda Prabhu was very deeply worried about his mother and his father. So they stopped at that Vishramtal, the banyan tree that we showed you on the way here. There he saw the state of Padmavati. The sannyasi gave her a deity of Muralidhar Krishna. And he told Mother Padmavati that you worship Muralidhar and you will see Nityananda Prabhu in him. She took the deity, and every time she looked in the face of the deity, she saw the face of her beloved Nitai. In the Bankim Rai temple that we have just been, the deity of Muralidhar is still present, worshipable deity of Padmavati.
At that time, right in front of the eyes of Hatai Pandit and Padmavati, Nityananda Prabhu just turned around in a state of complete detachment and left with the sannyasi. Immediately, Hatai Pandit and Padmavati fell to the ground unconscious. Soon the news spread throughout the town that a sannyasi has come and has taken Nityananda away. It was unthinkable. They ran to the site, and there they found, actually near the Garbhavas, it is explained, Hatai Pandit was chanting japa, and he put his japa beads on one tree that is called Malatal, even today. And then he saw Nityananda Prabhu leaving. When the people of Ekachakra heard what had happened, first they were trying to bring Padmavati and Hatai Pandit back to life. When they came to consciousness, all they could do was cry. And the only word that emanated from their mouth was Nitai, Nitai, Nitai. one Brahmin said, Nitai is just a 12-year-old boy. He doesn't know cooking. He doesn't know cleaning. He doesn't know all these things. How will he help the sannyasi? My son knows all these things. I will catch that sannyasi. I will find him, and I will trade. Give Nitai back to Ekachakra. I will give you my son.